What time is it? It's Packard Folks at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardFolksAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Folks at and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Folks at, and I'm poking at your news.
Hello, everybody. This is Packard Folks at the Midweek Show. This is episode 487. Damn, these are just flying by. Connie, what have you got for us tonight for a story?
Well, there were so many choices. I've decided to go with creationists have sold the Ark Encounter to themselves for $10.
I heard about this.
To avoid taxes.
Yeah, they were saying, oh yeah, we're gonna pay back all the taxes. We'll pay our taxes and whatnot, and then they turn around and sell it to themselves and avoid taxes. I think that is a crime.
You know, tax evasion.
Yeah, if it comes out, you know, and this is tax evasion. If they decide to prosecute, I hope Ken Ham goes to the big house.
Me too.
What's his name? Give him advice, right?
Jim. Ken Ham needs advice about how to make it inside the big house without getting shanked.
His seats wants you inside of him.
Yeah, he won't have any. He won't only have Christ inside him. He'll have Bubba inside him too.
Yep.
Yeah, it just proves again that, you know, what they really love is the money. I think personally that they should let the roads go to shit.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't go down that road and fix it up. Just let it go bad.
And is the Ark made of wood? Because it would be a real shame if a lightning struck it and it started burning and then all the firemen show up with hot dogs and marshmallows. Oh, by the way, happy hot dog day, everybody.
Oh, yes, it is happy hot dog day.
It is happy hot dog day.
But and this is not a paid endorsement. I just have to look this up. That there are certain some places that are selling hot dogs for like really cheap, and if you don't have some of these places in town, one of the places that has them, you don't get it for free, but you get it really for under a buck. Burger King, they started doing this hot dog thing.
I saw a sign.
I'm sorry, personally, I wouldn't want a free hot dog. Sorry, Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I saw a sign on a Burger King. Restaurant about dollar hot dogs or something.
Yeah, they're supposed to be selling for like 89 cents right now.
Yeah, 89 cents.
I've had them. They're okay, but
I actually had a hot dog for lunch today myself. So,
no, there you go. And I actually just bought hot dogs for this morning to bring home for dinner. So, hey, and I didn't even, and that was before I knew it was hot dog day. So.
Well, we ended up having hot dogs because my roommate and I were watching the news and they said it was National Hot Dog Day and we had hot dogs. So,
suggestibility.
Yeah.
I knew it. I always knew that about you.
We're all ex-believers. What do you think?
Yes.
There's a certain degree.
Damn ex-believers.
Yeah, ex-believers are damn hot dogs.
They're going to hell, and how many different religions?
They're all going to hell on a hot dog.
Lightning bolts are coming down.
Lightning bolts are coming down, and the hot dogs are cooking.
Get your buns ready.
Ham better be.
Damn right. Anyway, Ham brings hot dogs. You're going to get shanked. Hey, Atheist Ranger, what do you got for stories for us today?
Well, I got this story came out yesterday on the Free Thinker. It's about the not really the Catholic Church, but two specific Catholic institutions. Mm-hmm. The title reads "More than 500 kids abused in Catholic schools over 60 years."
Shocker!
I know, right? Ulrich Weber, a German lawyer, tasked with investigating abuse at two Catholic institutions, including the famous Weinsberger. I cannot fucking. God, it's just German, so sorry. I'll just post it right here so you can read it.
Just say it's Wayne's World. I mean, you know, it's
yeah.
They brought burgers. You said you got the guy named Burger there, so
yeah.
And we talked about hot dogs, so it's Burger.
I think I can't pronounce it. Regenburger Darmstadt. Yeah, Regenburger Darmstadt.
A Regenburger.
Yes.
Yeah, Regensburger Darmstadt.
Yes, Darmstadt Boys Choir today revealed in a report that at least 547 children have been victims of sadists and sexual predators. According to the BBC, the alleged physical cruelty, including sexual abuse, relates to children attending both the Weizenberger, whatever, preschool and high school over a period of 60 years. Representative of the Boys Choir have yet to officially respond to the report, shocker. Presenting his findings today, Weber said that the investigation has uncovered 500 cases of physical abuse and 67 instances of sexual abuse over six decades.
Jesus. Of the
49 church members who carried out the abuse under what was described as a culture of silence, nine were found to have been involved in sexual abuse. So yeah,
that's like that one sound clip. It says, I thought we did paperwork and whatnot. No, it's just about the kid fucking. The paperwork is just the busy work.
So they're sweeping shit under the carpet too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Unfortunately.
Oh, and by the way, down below it says the church has previously offered to pay the victims compensation of between $5,000 and $20,000.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll make that claim. Just, you know.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I can use that money.
I need $20,000. I just, you know, my butt's sore for some reason. It was him. He's Packer, your age. Yeah.
Packer got raped by a bear.
He was a little bit hairy.
Down.
They all look alike. They all got that black collar, black and white collar. They all look alike to me.
Down, Smokey, down.
Hey, boo-boo.
Oh, he bought more than a peck in the basket this time.
Oh, no.
Oh, Matt, God, we're bad.
We really are.
I blame the hot dogs.
I totally blame I'm with Connie. I blame the hot dogs.
People are probably listening to this right now going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, our mission is accomplished.
All right. If you're saying what the fuck after you listen to this and you're going, we did exactly what we set out to
do. Oh, no.
Have a nice day. Matt, what have you got for us today?
This is about something about Noah's Ark. I put the link in there, but of course, when you click on the link, it doesn't go to the right story.
Of course. Why would it go to the right story? If it was the right story, this wouldn't be Packard Pokes at.
Exactly.
Getting fucked up on this show is more than just drinking a lot. Which we do. If you don't, every time we fuck up or there is a fuck up, you have to drink a lot. So, Matt. You started the day off.
This is coming from the Potch Times.
The Epoch Times.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Noah's Ark blueprints found. 4,000-year-old detailed instructions.
Sorry. Are you sure this is on the Onion?
Well, the caption is one of the most important human documents ever discovered.
It's the Onion. It's got to be the Onion.
Epoch.
That says the Epoch Times.
Yeah.
I see that.
Irving Finkel, British Museum curator.
Oh, wait! The guy's Irving Finkel. Finkel.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Why did I just feel like I just stepped into an Andy Griffith TV show? Hey, it's Mr. Finkel. He's down there with Floyd, getting a haircut.
Where's Barney? Barney Fife when you need him.
Yeah, where's Barney Fife? You got to rest Finkel. We're getting fucking haircuts out of season.
Okay, it's Irving Finkel, the British Museum curator and author of the Ark.
It's hilarious.
Before Noah has found a 4,000-year-old tablet that describes the materials and measurements in a way never before conceived by archaeologists as round.
Round.
Like a round boat?
I guess.
Dub, some animals in a tub.
Actually, if you go back to early Sumeria, And because the Noah's Ark story is not an original story. The Noah's Ark story is a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. And the original boat was said to have been round, if it, you know, there was a boat in, at all.
A coracle, C-O-R-A-C-L, a small roundish-shaped lightweight boat, sort that used in Wales, is the one common kind.
Matt, we didn't mean to interrupt your story there. Go ahead.
All right. It also says Finkel post of his discovery,
mm-hmm.
a tablet given to him by his father. His father had picked up some artifacts from Egypt and China after the 1940s. It says the tablet turned out to be a one in a million. It tells the Babylonian story of the flood and its similarities to the story recounted in the book of Genesis. The tablet has startling new contents.
You know, the thing is, let's put this into perspective. These people lived along rivers, and since most civilizations live along rivers, that's a good indication that, you know, that those areas have flooding.
Well, I mean, there are Christian apologists who like to claim that Noah's Ark was just a regional flood. I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't make sense, and quite frankly, that's not what the Bible says.
Right. The fact is that they're trying to explain it away, although a regional flood would make a lot more sense than a worldwide flood, and because, you know, there's no way that a worldwide flood would ever be able to be possible. I mean, where would all the water have to go to, you know? Of course, then there's those ones that say, oh, it shot out into space and hit the moon.
Huh. Yeah.
Even some of the creationists have said, you know, don't talk about that. That's not a thing. That's not a thing.
When they say it was a regional flood, that to me, that's even worse, because if it's just regional, like, other cultures would have written about it, and mm-hmm. we don't see that.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, is if it was just regional in that area, I mean, it could have been a very localized flood. I mean, it could have been some guy that just happened to have some goats and a few animals on his little ship because he was going up and down the Nile, and there was a storm or something, and he got sent out into the Persian Gulf or whatever. And it's like, the whole world's covered with water all of a sudden. It's like, no, you just seen a new thing that you had never seen before. It never surprises me. It never surprises me.
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter, or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 662-709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokesAt on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show? Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokesAt, or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable,
fire, fire, fire,
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. I've got a story here. If you are under 18, you might want to, you know, turn the volume down for a little while. Apparently, if you live in the United States and you are an adult and you like to get it on, well, you're out of luck. Because apparently Americans are having less sex overall for reasons. Now, take it for what it is. This is from CNN. It says, today, sex seems to be more available to us than ever before. Just with a swipe on their phone, singles can schedule their next hookup, while committed couples are having an apparent sure thing every night.
Sorry.
Really? Is that how that's supposed to work? It never. I got to tell you, when I was married, that was never a sure thing. That was never a sure thing.
Let me be very clear. I was once engaged, and that was even never a sure thing.
Right. It was never a sure thing when I was engaged either, you know. Now, this is also known as the marriage advantage. Or they're living they have a really good sex life and they think everybody's having sex like this. Then it continues on here, says, why are Americans having less sex than they were 20 years ago or not more? I can suggest a couple things. Now, it doesn't have nothing to do with Tinder, has nothing to do with the internet. Is the fact is that we have 7 fucking billion people on the planet, and some people who are a little bit smarter, and they're saying, you know what? I think we need to slow down a little bit. We don't have to have these big-ass families. So we don't have to fuck all the time. You know? We don't have to try to get pregnant, like, every fucking week.
And alternate theory, at least last time I checked, from the day it's born to, you know, the day it turns 18, raising a child costs at least $1 million. Most people in America don't have that kind of fucking money.
Exactly.
So that's why.
Yeah. No, yeah. You're right on the nose on that. It is very expensive to raise a child nowadays. And people who are less well off, like I am, just don't want to be in a situation where you get more kids, you know?
Especially living in a country where, at this point, the poorer is getting poorer and the rich are getting richer.
Yes, exactly.
Now, yeah, just ask Donald Trump. I'm sure it costs a pretty penny for his kid to raise his kids. Probably costs more than $1 million.
It's not costing him a dime. It's costing us.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think we all can agree that the nannies raised his kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were saying, now, kind of along where we were talking about, you know, how the amount of kids, it says here the parenting effects, a lot of parents feel like they've already done about 50 things they don't want to do that day, like getting up at dawn, dealing with the child's traumas, adding sex to the menu just seems to be too much. Oh, my God, I had to feed everybody, and you want to do that? Then you're doing it wrong, man. When you go to that bedroom or, you know, in the living room or wherever you want to do it at, if you go in there and you go, I want to do this because I want to do this. You don't do it because, oh, my God, I got to take the garbage out. I got to fuck for 5 minutes and then I got to go and weed the garden. You know, that's not a day. That's a horrible day.
Wow, you only last 5 minutes, Packard?
No, not even close. Wait.
Too far, Packard.
Too far.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So apparently apparently more. So in other words, apparently more men are spanking the monkey than actually having sex.
Probably. That could very well be. That very well could be. Now, it also says here there's also the Tinder effect, which, again, I don't think is a thing. But it says for committed couples, technology can be a distraction that takes away from their partner. Whether they are at dinner or walking the dog, I see more and more couples looking at their prospective phones while they're together, said Mary Klein, author of Certified Sex Therapist. This reduction in conversation and attention for each other can't be good, as it reduces the simmering feeling that many people want as the context for sex. How do you know that they're not texting each other and just having cyber sex back and forth? You know, they could be like, that's the reason why they're
good. Hey, I thought sexting was illegal.
Because right now they're fucking in public. They're like, yeah, I want to do this to you. What do you think? Oh, yeah. No one knows. Oh, we're having sex in public and no one knows with our clothes on.
Wouldn't that be considered sexting?
Yes. It actually would be sexting. Yeah. But it's
illegal in some states.
Oh,
well, I don't know. I've never heard of it being illegal anymore.
Yeah, but those are the states that are still okay. Fuck a goat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Oh, no, I guess I dropped myself on my head this morning. Yeah, you got a real pretty mouth.
Got a real pretty mouth. Can't handle.
Well, I think the biggest thing for myself is as the kids grow older, I keep thinking, damn it, why don't we have a soundproof room? I get very self-conscious. It's just...
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
That's too much information, but I have to say... Yeah.
No. That's actually... I understand that. I understand because people live in these close-knit neighborhoods and everything like that, and it's like, I don't want the neighbors to know that I'm having sex.
Exactly. Thin walls, trailer. Yeah. It's like,
trailer or, sure. You know, apartment, you know, it's like,
yep.
If you poke through the wall, they could see what you're doing. It's like, hey, what you doing over there? Huh? Yeah.
Well, what's the worst thing that could happen in a trailer if you're having sex? You end up going through the floor.
Or through the wall.
Or the wall.
Or the window.
Yeah, the window.
Or if you have a sex swing and you swing a little too high, you go right
through. That's what those Molly screws are for, Packard.
This down. Molly screws.
Yes. Well, my husband's a carpenter, so you know.
Okay.
Yeah, but the only thing is, it's a metal. It's a tin roof. They'll snap right off.
Yeah,
snap. Exactly. Yep, they're having sex again.
Well, I guess we have a window in the ceiling now.
We have
one of them there. Skylights.
Now, the article says, now compared with earlier generations, women might be viewing sex as less of a duty to their husbands and more of a personal choice. I never understood that. I never understood why women had to think that it was, I got to get in the bed and I got to spread my legs for the husband or the boyfriend because it's my duty.
When your entire view of yourself as your value is about your virginity, and I don't know, there's this whole disconnect with the way that people were traditionally raised to think about sex. And it was just like something that they even put off education about it. I don't know. I just think that girls aren't really, they're not encouraged or taught to think that it's something pleasurable for them. That's changing. I'm not saying
it's you're right.
Necessarily it's that way now, but
no, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, think about back in a long, long time ago when, you know, the women stayed home, did all the cleaning, the cooking,
and raised
the kids.
Yep.
Yes. As a kid growing up in, I turned 12 about 1970. So at my, growing up, most of the moms stayed home. I think that my ex-best friend in fifth grade, her mom was a teacher, and she was a latchkey kid. When she came home or she would stay after school, it was strange to me to see that. But within a few years, I moved up to a different section of Washington State, and there were a lot of my friends who were from divorced families. There are a lot of friends whose moms were working and were progressively working, at first because they wanted to, and then because we need two incomes to make things go. And by the time I was a young mom, there weren't any other moms hardly ever, except for, like, you know, grandmas in a neighborhood. I was very lonely as a young mom. So it's interesting. And that's just in the span of maybe 10, 20 years.
Yeah. Now there's
that,
more
that changed.
There's a little bit more to this article here. It says it makes sense that women in relationships might be losing their sex drive and saying no more, as opposed to my mother's generation that just spread their legs and composed a shopping list in their heads during sex. She said, if that's true, then the decline in frequency is a good thing. All right. Hold on.
Who are we marrying then?
I don't know. Apparently grocers. You know, I don't know. Because apparently if you're making a grocery list while you're having sex, you need help. I'm just saying.
Oh, maybe the grocery man. Never mind. Forget it.
Maybe you're gonna go there. She's not thinking of this.
I need hot dogs.
Part of the grocery.
I need more hot dogs. Is that
they're thinking about grocery lists and they're spreading their legs. What, they think that the groceries are gonna come out where she's spreading her legs at? Let's say I need milk.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Like, no, I think the point is that they're so disassociated back then. They were a little bit more disassociated. It was like the guy just wants to get in, get off, and get off. You know what I'm saying? He just wants to get in, and then you're like, okay, this is just for him. Okay, I need eggs. I need breakfast cereal. I need milk. You know. Oh, good. You're done. Let me finish this grocery list now. Let's see. I need bread. Yeah, go clean up, you little bastard. Yeah, that's right. Just saunter back like you think you're the fucking cock of the walk or something. I'm not even done with my list yet. Jesus Christ. So,
that's what you call a quickie.
That's a quickie.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
I say it's the fault of how we raise both sexes, that, you know,
one is
raised to think that this is something you avoid, and the other one is raised to think, well, this is how you assert yourself, this is how you're a man, this is how it makes you you know, this is your pleasure, your thing. It's, and I'm like, no, you know, and why are people getting married? You know, I mean, granted, the first bloom of love wears off and excitement wears off, but at some point couples should talk to each other about this, about, yeah, you know, you can't, well, you could have sex all day, every day, I guess, but, you know, there's other stuff to do. So
wait a minute. I mean, I'm going to write this down.
Oh, these are the gems.
I'm going to write this down.
All right.
Well, anyway. All right.
No one tells me these things. Yeah, just every day. I'm going to underline every day.
There's other stuff to do besides that.
No, there's nothing. If you're having sex, there is nothing else to do. I mean, you don't answer the phone. You don't answer the house is burning down. You don't even bother to put your pants on. You just stay right there.
Well, I could share, but I'm not going to, because I'm more private than that. So just no.
We won't tell anybody, Connie.
It was much different with my husband now than it was my first husband, and it made a big difference to be with somebody. And it was so anyway. I just
I understand that, because you know it. And going back to what you were saying earlier, in, I don't know, say pre-60s or whatever, it's like, yeah, you have to do this for your husband. Just just get into bed, just do it what you got to do, and then just don't worry about it. You know, you don't get to have any pleasure. Don't worry about that. And now women are getting to be able to discover that, hey, I get to enjoy it too.
Maybe having sex less is actually a good thing, because maybe people are having sex less, but they're getting more enjoyment out of it, and they're doing it for reasons that makes sense, other than, well, gee, you know, you had sex, so now you have to marry the guy that you had sex with, even if you didn't get, you know, or you had a baby, you can have a baby, so this is all those reasons aren't there, and so maybe that's maybe the quality of sex is better.
Okay, so you're saying that it's actually lasting longer than 30 seconds or so.
I don't have anything to do with how long you last. But, oh God, you're being obtuse with me right now.
Quality has now gone from 10 seconds to 30 seconds. I'm just saying.
No, just saying that people are coupling more intentionally, and whether they're married or whether they're single or whatever, and so maybe they may not have as much sex, but the sex that they're having is really good. And maybe when they feel that they need something and their partner's not ready, or they don't have a partner, they go ahead and they pleasure themselves. And so maybe the quality of sex has gone up for people. Not everybody, but maybe that's
possible. I like the idea of the self-pleasuring thing there, because I need to go.
I had to marry Poppins the hell out of this story, because I just think there must be a positive note in this thing. Damn it! Let me reach in my bag of holding,
right?
Which is what she actually had.
Well, we do have to get out of here. I'd like to thank everybody that came to the show, and if you would like to make a donation to the show, you can go to patreon.com/PackardPokesAt, where you can make a donation as little as $1 once a month. Or if you'd like to make a donation that's a little bit larger, go to paypal.me/PackardPokesAt, and you can make a donation as for $1 or more, and then I get the whole dollar. So if you wanted to make a donation from your Patreon and you don't want to think about it, you should go right ahead and put it there. But if you want to, you know, not write out a check or anything like that, but I would get all the dollar bill if you go to paypal.me/PackardPokesAt. And we will be back on Friday at 9 p.m. Central Time. That's 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Pacific and 8 o'clock Mountain Time. So if you're there, make sure you shut off the light after the end of the show, because you're the only one living in goddamn Mountain Time.
You're so mean.
Geezer. All right, we'll see you then. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And that's a wrap.